Welcome to Royal Legacy, where we will explore the rich athletic history and deep family connections of BYU sports. Join us as we honor the past, celebrate the present, and look forward to the future of the BYU Cougars. Here's your host, Lauren McLean.
How's it going, everyone? I'm Lauren McLean, and this is Royal Legacy, where we dive deep into the family connections of BYU sports. Joining me today are husband and wife, Mitch and Maddie Matthews, former star athletes for the BYU football team and women's soccer team. Thanks so much for being here with me, guys.
We're glad to be here.
So happy
Thanks
to be
for
here.
Having us.
This is going to be fun. Are you sure you're both happy? Because you were giving me some different answers before the season started.
I am so ready.
I am so ready. All right, let's do this. Let's talk about your journeys to BYU first. Mitch, you were a standout athlete in Beaverton, Oregon. Mm-hmm. What made you choose BYU over staying close to home?
I actually wanted to be a Duck. An Oregon Duck. Growing up, that's who everyone cheered for, either Oregon or Oregon State, and yeah. I wanted to be a Duck. My dad grew up in Utah, but he didn't go to BYU or Utah, so he went to Southern Utah. So either BYU or Utah was never on the radar.
Yeah.
Me and my brother Marcus, who I played with here at BYU, we always wanted to be Ducks. It wasn't until he got a scholarship when I was a freshman in high school to BYU that BYU was ever even on the radar. Then once my brother committed to BYU, this is like, you know, going into my sophomore year. Then we totally converted to be like, you know, yeah. total Cougars. And that's who we watched. And in 2008, when I was in high school, BYU played Oregon and BYU won. And so I had all the bragging rights, you know, amongst my friends. And then I totally converted to being a Cougar. And once my brother was committed here, that's just where I knew I wanted to go. And then I got a scholarship my junior year. And it was pretty easy to commit here since I knew I was going to play with my brother. And so, I was a late blooming Cougar, you know, but that was great. I learned all about BYU and was thrown into it. And, you know, we ended up staying here in Utah now. So Utah has been home because of my brother, ultimately his decision first to go to BYU. But I'm glad I followed in his footsteps. I'm glad I made it here.
And Maddie, you've mentioned on your social media that it was your dream since you were a little girl to come to BYU. What made it such a special place for you?
I mean, just growing up in Utah and watching their games, I went to camps ever since I was like 7 years old. And like, I remember just sleeping and thinking about BYU soccer. And
really?
Yeah. So I was on a club team, Sparta United, and one of the girls' older sisters, Jessica Ringwood, committed to BYU. Yeah. And so just watching her and going to her games, I just saw the atmosphere and I was like, oh my gosh. And they were good. And like, I want to be here. And I just remember going to camps with all my like club friends. And we would like go find Jen and then like juggle in front of her or like try to impress her.
Oh, that is so embarrassing.
Looking back,
that
I'm
is
like, oh.
so embarrassing.
But like, that's like what we wanted to do was like play at BYU.
Oh,
but hey, our strategy worked.
It worked. Mitch, that's not embarrassing.
No, that's great
it
advice.
It totally works.
If you're listening, that's great advice.
Stalk the head coach. Go find
that's
her.
That's what you got to do.
Oh my gosh. That's
and do
like...
anything you can to impress her.
Yes.
Oh, I love that. And then you played soccer and then you end up running track your senior year.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
So I ran track in high school. I actually ran when I was like younger too. I went to like the Junior Olympics and stuff like that.
Wow.
It was
did
so
you really?
Fun.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You really didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
This
doesn't surprise me.
There's gonna be lots of revelations.
It doesn't surprise
lots
me.
Lots of them. We're gonna learn a lot about each other, Mitch.
Yeah,
this
can't
podcast.
Wait.
Yeah. But yeah, so then I ran in high school and I obviously was already committed to like play soccer. And so I was in touch with the BYU track coach, but like because I was already committed, it just like timeline didn't work out. And so finally when I was done with soccer, he was like, do you want to come try a semester? And I was so excited. So yeah, it was a lot of fun.
That is awesome. You got to do both of those.
Yeah, really cool.
You both were elite athletes here at BYU, but how did the two of you meet? Because Mitch, I recently watched this interview I did with you and Taysom Hill, and I don't know how long he'd been married, but he's like, Mitch, you got to start hanging out with some girls. Like, he was trying to give you some dating advice.
That was probably 10 years ago.
It probably was. That's it really was. And I actually think you guys met not too long after that.
Really?
So how did you guys meet?
Manifesting. Yeah, I told myself I wasn't going to get married at BYU, and I didn't. I stayed true to that.
Oh, my gosh.
Not because it's a bad thing to it, just that, like, I just feel like, you know, I had one focus. And it was ball. But me and Maddie met at a great time. We met like weeks before I left to go train for the NFL. So that was great timing for at least for me. was just to be focused on ball while I was here. Then we met at a haunted chairlift in Sundance, you know, that ride that you need to go up and make a haunted chair.
That was our first date.
That was our first date. Yeah. And that was really fun. And we've been, honestly, ever since that day, pretty much together ever since then.
Oh,
and that was end of October 2015, and I left in December. So like a month and a half later, I left, and then we did distance for 2 years. But that's where we met, that was our first date.
That was our first date. Can I tell the story of how we first met?
I want to hear it. Yes.
Who's better at telling it, though?
Ways. Do we want first impression, or do we want how we...
Both. You can do first impression, and then I'll do how we met.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Because your first impression, that was you.
Yeah. So I'm a freshman, and you know, like the SAB, like I'm studying at one of those tables, and... Of course, I'm like scouting around. Like I'm new here, so I'm like scouting who's cute. And so I see this like really tall, handsome guy walking. And I'm he's cute, and he has like his sweats on and his like socks and sandals, and he's like walking like he's tired, but like kind of with a swag to him. And as I'm watching him, I'm like, he's kind of full of himself. Like, what sport does he play? This
total
is me being
total
so
judgment.
Judgmental. And I'm like, I see BYU football, and I was like, I'm never marrying a football player. That was my, and it was Mitch.
Never say never.
And that never thought came to my head, and I remember it like yesterday.
What are those called? A core memory?
Yeah, core memory.
Yeah, she said she never did a football player.
Yeah, it's funny.
From
it was
my,
you.
From, yeah, right.
So, and then four
snap judgment.
Years later.
No,
was it 4 years
later? I was a senior. She was a.
That was 2014, so a year and a half later.
Okay. A year and a half later.
Yeah, it was
not too much longer.
Yeah, and I didn't even know his name. I didn't know who he was, like any of that. And then, like, how we, like, first met was one of his mutual friends was like, hey.
Yes, yeah, someone set us up on a
blind date. Yeah.
And we knew that we were supposed to meet, and she came to one of my games. It was in October of 2015, so, like, early October.
Do you remember what team you were playing?
Playing Cincinnati.
Okay.
And I tell this part of the story every single time, even though it's not true. I was balling out. I was going crazy in the game.
Because you knew she was there.
That part.
She was there. What's funny is if you look at the stats, I think I it wasn't even that crazy. But she was sitting first row, which she had never done before.
She knew
that we were supposed to go on a date, so she sat front row. But like, it was right behind the bench too. So every time I come off the field, she's just right there.
That's my strategy.
And so take off the helmet. Of course, you get the helmet hair. So of course, you like grab some water, make like a little faux hawk, like real quick. I knew she was paying attention, and so of course was I. I think I remember telling some of my teammates too that like, you gotta watch, like that's Maddie right there, whatever. Even though I was totally focused on the game. After the game though, you know how if we win or lose, like you run around the bottom of the stadium and like you high five all the fans and stuff. Game's over, we did that whole high fiving thing around the field, and she stayed to get the high fives from the players, which was so It was a little cringy, but she was doing it for me, but she kind of had to be there to like do it for everybody else. She's reaching her hand down. I make it all the way around, and her hands are giving high fives. And I grab her hand, knowing that we're supposed to go out soon on this double date. And I was like, hey, how are you? And she wasn't really paying attention. And I said, hey, how are you? And she says back, she's like, nothing. As if she thought I said, hey, what's up?
Sense.
She thought I said, hey, what's up? So she says nothing. I said, hey, how
Good
are you?
Start.
She
yes,
says nothing. And I remember I froze because I
we
didn't know what
froze.
To say to that response.
We both looked at each other like,
I didn't know what to say.
What?
So I just kept running.
Yeah.
I just kept running. She left, whatever. So that was our first time we had met. And then we went on that date.
We redeemed
later,
ourselves after on the date. But the first impression, we both were like, huh?
First impression was off, let me tell you.
Well, tell me you brought that up the first day. I feel like those are stuff you got to air it out.
Fun of her
you got to be like, hey.
That was like the first thing. Like,
good.
Hey, what's up, nothing, or something like that.
You can't let that awkward moment linger like later.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, by the way, a year ago, this has kind of been eating me alive on the inside. Like, I need to tell you this. No, you had to bring it up right away,
I know. Well, it's funny because really he's like front row. She never sits front row. Like that's where the athlete section is. Sit
there. She was right there. And then I was over the banister. Like,
and then I was with Colby. Remember Colby Pearson and Grant Jones?
Yes.
Okay, so I was sitting next to their wives, and so they were waiting for their boyfriends. So I was just standing next to them, and I had my hand out talking to them.
Totally makes sense.
So
to
I was turned around to grab my hand.
The story checks out, but
yeah, it does check anyway. Out. All right, Mitch, I want to know what was going through your mind when you first saw Maddie on the soccer field in her element.
Oh, I mean, it's just next level. Like she has like if you know her personality, so kind, so sweet, 0% competitive. Just an amazing person. Everyone loves her. Like she has this like sort of gravitational pull around her. But then you get on the she gets on the field and in she's so far ahead of everybody else, like athletically, so much stronger, so much faster. There's no reason there is of course a reason why the track coaches wanted her to always run track, because she was just so much bigger, faster, stronger than everyone. And it was just like so fun to see her in her element in her game, and then playing the sport that she loved, you know. But just to watch her against everybody else, it was a man amongst boys. And I mean that in like the right way. But that's really that's really what it was. And and I was always right there on the sideline, like if she ever wasn't shooting enough. So I'd come back. I forget which I was either on Kansas City or Cleveland. I would come back and watch her games in the fall as much as I could. And I would be right there on the sideline yelling for her to shoot the ball. Halftime, I would like grab her, like, stop passing the ball. Shoot it.
I was always looking to give my teammates like assists instead of shooting. He's like, no, first look, shoot. And I was like, okay.
Shoot the freaking thing.
Yeah.
So anyways, it was fun to watch her. And I didn't know much about soccer at the time. Still don't. But it was fun to see her just be so dominant and play the sport she loved.
Listen, I'm going to second that, because I was a sideline reporter at the time. And so I get to watch Manny. You're like, it was like a gazelle, powerful gazelle. Like one of the most beautiful,
you know what
I'm
saying?
I'm serious. Like one of the most beautiful athletes. Like the way you play, there was like, anyway,
you're
strength
so nice.
And beauty. Like it was, you were so fun to watch.
I'm blushing.
All right, Maddie, let's go to you. What went through your mind the first time you saw Mitch on the football field and you like knew him? You know what I mean?
Him balling out in Cincinnati. Yeah. I was like, wow.
Come on, give me it. What'd you think?
It's so funny because do you remember the Hail Mary? I'm going to bring up the Hail Mary catch.
Hail Mary? Yeah, I know. I think I do. Yeah.
That was like when I like knew of you, but I like didn't know you yet. And I just remember like watching that. I know exactly where I was. And just like watching that game, I was like, dang, he's so fast. And like you like catch the ball, like not against your chest, but like you're really good at just like catching it. But anyway, just watching Mitch was like
your terminology
super fun.
Is why we got to get that up to speed. Yes, I know what you're saying.
You guys got to help each other with your respective sports a little bit here.
That is true.
Yeah, where were you?
I was actually in my apartment with my friends.
Everybody remembers where they were. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
I actually just got back from Nebraska. I was playing in Nebraska the day before you, and I flew home, and like right when I got home, we turned on the game.
It's blessed ground.
And you know what? There was like a newspaper article of like me playing Nebraska on your guys' bus.
Whoa.
Hey.
Is that magic?
Yeah.
I think Tanner Mangum was also trying to talk to her at that time, too.
Well, that didn't work out.
So I think that happened. Shout out to Tanner.
Fred Warner maybe was, too. But anyway, we won't get into that.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll have more from former BYU football and soccer stars, husband and wife, Mitch and Maddie Matthews. This is Royal Legacy.
And now back to Royal Legacy and your host, Lauren McLean.
All right, Manny, I want to start with you. What was it about Mitch? At what point did you decide, okay, yeah, I want to marry this guy?
First date.
Really?
What? You never told me that.
Well, okay. Not like, okay. We went back to me being judgmental and like, oh, Mitch is full of himself, whatever, blah, blah, blah. First date, I was like, wow, that was, you know, he is so funny. I was laughing the entire time. And like the best thing about Mitch is like he's so authentic to himself that he like allows other people to be like that around him. And so like I felt like I could be myself and joke and all that. So I was like, dang, he's fun. But like first time marrying him, like thought about it. Just like seeing how he treated his mom.
I love that.
Yeah.
What about for you, Mitch? When were you like, this girl, she's it?
Oh, man. I don't even know if I have like a story or a moment. It was pretty easy, I think. Like, Maddie's just so easy to love. And so, like, I don't think other people had had that same effect on me that Maddie had. We're like, this, the first time we went out, I'm like, I don't want a day to go by where we're not hanging out, you know, or connected. Yeah. And that's what happened. We've stayed connected for almost, I mean, every single day since that first date. We've pretty much been together. It was pretty quick. I always told myself, like, you know, do the opposite of what everyone says. Like, get married young, get married while you're at BYU. Like, don't leave college or, like, you know. I didn't really believe any of that. And so I was always just convinced, like, just wait. But Maddie just made it so easy where it was just like, if she's not in my life, then my own life isn't the same, you know? And so it just made it pretty obvious. But there was never like a, like, here's the moment, you know? Was she just, I mean, every guy wishes they had a crack at Maddie, you know what I mean? Every guy wishes they had, you know?
That's true.
So, like,
I'm embarrassed.
It was pretty easy, you know, from the beginning.
I love that. Well, you went all out for the proposal.
He did.
With a helicopter.
We did.
Wow.
We went all out. We went crazy.
Maddie, what was your reaction when you saw a helicopter?
It's so funny how it worked out, because my friend was a photographer, and she, like, asked me, she's like, hey, we should take some pictures for, like, this photo shoot that I need. Like, I need a model. And I'm like, perfect. Like, we can do it. And so we went to this, like, house, like, with a beautiful backdrop. It was really snowy in January, and we were just, like, taking pictures. And all of a sudden, I hear this, like, helicopter, like, around, and I'm like, wow, that helicopter is really close. Like, that's really interesting. And then it just kept getting closer and closer to the point where I'm like, do we even take pictures? Like, what is happening? And then all of a sudden, it gets so close I can see Mitch, and he's waving. And then, like, my friend takes me down, like, behind the hill, and I look, and I just see, like, this carved out, like, lane with a big heart in the snow where he, like, went out and, like, carved it out and everything, and it was just so sweet. And he landed, and I'm like, wait, is this real? Like, you got a helicopter. This is, like, epic.
Look, that is why
it took a second to register.
That is why I love BYU, because I think I sent one message out to, like, on Instagram or Twitter or something. I said, who has a helicopter? ? And I had a bunch of Cougar fans that got back and said, like, you know, I have one and my friend has one. And so, Cougar Nation, thank you for stepping up on that one. But I met the guy that day. Met him that day, and we just took off on the helicopter, landed down. He was so excited to do it. It was amazing. He took pictures from inside the helicopter, too. And then we picked Maddie up afterwards, and then we did a little fly through the Provo Canyon, through all the waterfalls, and it was insane. It was amazing. But I helicopter, you think, like, oh, I just, he was throwing down money. It was BYU Cougar Nation coming together to help your broke homie out. You know what I mean? But it was worth it. Pieces came together.
And, like, family, like, popped out. Like, they were hiding the whole time.
Oh, that's right.
Like,
my
bless your guys'
there.
Hearts. It was so cold. I'm over here taking, like, pictures, and they're just hiding in a bush.
Such a good memory.
Such a good memory.
I love that. It was such a good memory. You're yawning. You're, yeah.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Yeah, it was, wow, one of loved
what a day.
That moment.
No, it was great. We loved it.
So you guys, you had amazing careers at BYU. You met each other at BYU. What would you say is the thing you love most about your experience at BYU? Let's start with Mitch.
Loved most about, oh gosh, since we're on this theme, you know, you got to stay on this theme. Best experience at BYU. Man, I don't want to go into, like, football, because that's just, like, off topic. But I think it was learning how to balance life. Like, when you're 18-year-old kid, your parents do everything for you. You don't really have to think. You just play ball. I went on a mission, you know, before I really came to BYU and played. And still everything there is so structured for you. When you get to BYU, you have to balance school, which I didn't do very well. But you have to balance doing school. You have to balance football. You have to balance, you know, social and dating and family. And then also charity stuff that you do, like speaking and visiting kids and, you know, in hospitals or going to groups to speak. And you have to just balance a lot. And so I just remember thinking, like, I'm really growing up at this time. And BYU is probably the most formative years of my life, because you're without parents. We have the structure of football, of course, but, like, as a human being and as a man, like, this is what I had to figure out. Like, how do I balance being a super high performer in football and then school and then all the social, like, just really everything? And then now in life, I look back on my time at BYU and I'm like, that really helped me balance everything. And then now as a dad, as a business owner, those moments were formative to me to like know how to perform through stress, know how to perform after a bad week or a bad game, like the bounce back, knowing how to, you know, have high self-esteem, but also be humble enough to serve. Like it was, BYU was very formative for me to learn how to be a good man and a good human being.
I love that answer. What about for you, Maddie?
I want to second what Mitch said, but I won't go into detail because that's the thing, just like the time management and soccer school, and you're just trying to be the best at everything you can. But also, it's like such a loaded question because I feel like I can talk about this for an hour. Like, I just feel like the luckiest girl on the planet to even be at BYU, like go to BYU, like, and meet the people that I met and have the experiences I got to experience and play for the program that I did. It like has changed my life. And I like give kudos to Jen because she's really good at like the alumni portion where it's like once you're in the program, you feel like you're in the program for forever. And she's really good at like, you know, having events and stuff like that where you feel like you're still part of the program.
BYU football is awful at that, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Side note, we can talk about that, but go ahead.
But like, yeah, I just have like lifetime connections and I've learned things from each individual that will impact me for the rest of my life. So just the people that I met, and obviously it brought Mitch, which therefore brought my two children. So
let's go.
Cool experiences for sure.
Little cougar babies, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get to that in a little bit because I want to know all about their training because I know it's already happening.
We don't mess around.
I want to know because with everything that you guys said also comes challenges. There's challenges you just mentioned. You have to grow up. You're trying to balance everything as a kid and then I don't know, then emotions and, you know, everything that goes with being in college and being an athlete. How did you, let's start with Maddie, how did your family and Mitch kind of help you through some of the challenges that you faced at BYU?
Oh, they were my rock. Like, even, like, if we're talking soccer portion, just, like, Mitch changed my athletic performance in a lot of ways. Just gave me tips. Not, like, this isn't a brag or a flex by any means, but, like, I'm not a selfish person. And that kind of carried on the field, too, yeah. Where it's, like, I was always looking to assist other teammates and look opportunities for them. How can I help them? And then
passing when she shouldn't have passed the ball.
Yeah, and even my coaches were like, shoot the ball. Like, yeah. You can shoot it. But it's, I think I have to get permission from other people to be selfish to make it okay. And so that's where Mitch was drilling me and like, shoot it. It's okay. And then like my senior year was like the year that I scored the most goals.
Dude,
so
she went off.
I was just very grateful for like that mindset and like, even my dad, I wouldn't be where I am without like my dad. And like he was the one that put me in soccer in the first place. Well, and like my mom too. But like I remember as a kid, my dad's going to hate me for telling this story. But like he had me wear like 5-pound like ankle bracelets during practice because he thought it would make me like faster and stronger, which, yeah. Hey, maybe it worked. I don't advise this to the parents listening. But yeah, he just pushed me a lot and in ways that he thought was best, but like it registered in my head, like, yeah, we work hard and it carried through. Yeah. So, but yeah, just in all aspects of juggling everything, like my family was my rock.
He saw potential in you.
Yeah.
That's why I did that.
Yeah.
Mitch, what about for you? Because I'm sure there were a lot of challenges. How did your family and Maddie help you through those?
Yeah. Well, in college, at least Maddie and I weren't really dating.
Yeah.
But even, I mean, after NFL, I mean, I think I've told this story a million times with my mom passing away. I think my family did an amazing job at, especially my mom, is they allowed me to believe that I could truly be as great as I wanted to be. And it all just started with the real estate in between my own ears. Like as much as I talked to myself about the things I could become and the great things I can do in the world and on the football field and off the football field, my parents allowed me to think really highly. And I think a lot of athletes lack that. I think a lot of athletes think they're okay and wait to be maybe great, but that doesn't happen if you always think you're just okay. I think the best athletes think they're awesome and great at the sport and fast. They're fast in their mind before they're fast on the field. They're great in their mind before they're great on the field. And I think my parents, my older brother, like they for some reason looked at me and said, like, this kid can go as far as he wants. Let's let him just have all the confidence he needs to have, you know? And then Maddie was just always right there. She was there for some of the worst moments of my life. And so having her there at those times, you know, getting me back to in the right headspace to, you know, having a funeral while I'm playing in the NFL, funeral for my mom, like having those things and still needing to perform, like my family was just this little tight circle around me. And of course, BYU Nation, of course, everyone else, but my family from when I was really young allowed me to think big. That's number one. And then when times did get tough, like they were always the first ones on the scene. So that was definitely it for me, just a great support system. Because, you know, you do pick your coaches in a sense. And my coaches were awesome. But I think you need a lot more support system than just your coaches. Because coaches can make your life hard at times too. Yeah. You know, they're the antithesis of building up at times.
Right.
I mean, everyone can say that if you've played a high level of sport. So you need that close group of people outside of football that build you up. So you have that sort of shield and protection and armor around you while you're playing the sport. And that's exactly what my family was.
I love that. You know? Maddie, what was that like from your perspective, having gone through something similarly in your life, to be there for Mitch and support him through that?
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, like, I lost my mom to cancer when I was 12. And so watching Mitch like go through that same experience was excruciating. And I feel like for me personally, like I was reliving everything, but like what hurt even worse was like knowing what like they were going through. Like I just knew what was coming, and like the people that you love the most, you just, you know, it was just hard to watch. But yeah, they handled it with grace and I tried to help the best I could. But like the one thing that I learned is like everyone just grieves differently. And even though I handled it one way, other people will grieve it a different way. And like, that's totally okay. Like grief looks different for everybody. And just like accepting it and like knowing that, you know, feelings are valid and we just have to go through the emotions. But yeah, Mitch's family is, I got so lucky. Like, again, I just like pinch me, right? Where I'm like, how did I get married into such an incredible family?
You are lucky.
No, I really,
so lucky.
I really am so lucky. Like my father-in-law, he's my best friend.
Shout out. She likes my dad more than she likes me.
He's my best friend. And like,
I have seen a lot of videos of you and
yes,
your father-in-law.
She likes my dad more than she likes
and
me.
Lisa was just like incredible. We were, you know, again, first thing, like watching Mitch, like how he treated his mom was like one of the first things. We're like, whoa, like I really love this guy. Like they were two peas in a pod and I really, really admired that.
Mitch, what's one thing that you did growing up with your family that you want to carry on with your two girls now?
Oh my gosh, we were like the classic prototypical just like sports two-a-days all the freaking time, live, breathe, eat sports. And I told Maddie this all the time, I tell everyone this, like I wouldn't change a thing about my childhood. My parents were just obsessed with my brother and I and our success, and so they made our success, you know, not necessarily their success, but like they grieved when we grieved, they cheered when we cheered. But my parents also weren't oblivious. Like this is what they did super well, besides like all the time and support and whatever gear we needed and all the things they gave us, and they cheered with us when we needed to be cheered on, they grieved with us when we needed to grieve. Besides that, they were so real. Like they were not the parents that when we weren't getting enough playing time when we were younger, or we weren't pitching, you know, on the mound when they thought we should have been, like they never went up to the coach and like, hey, but my son's Mitch though. Like you need to treat him. But you know, like there was zero of that. Everything was still, hey, if you feel like you need to talk to the coach, you got to talk to the coach. If you feel like you're not getting enough playing time, you go make it happen. And so they were never there to coddle whatsoever. And that was more like the sport side of things. They were always so real and raw, and they looked at me as, you know, super talented, and I could go all these cool places, but they weren't about to coddle us ever. And that was a really cool thing. And I'm copying and pasting control C, control P on that one for my kids. But in terms of just other life things, our family was just so much fun. Like we were the house where everyone came over to our house. It was sort of a safe place for all the friends to go. So every party, every good time, every snow day, every event, everyone crashed in our house. And so being the right type of person this is what I want to copy, is having a safe home where people can come and feel, you know, a vibration, an energy that they never felt before, is something that we're sort of, Maddie and I are sort of obsessed with, is we want to be the house where kids, people, family can go and feel maybe something they haven't felt before, which is just total love.
Yeah.
In the home. My parents crushed that, like absolutely nailed
that.
They
did, yeah.
And that's the memories I still talk about with my friend, is how everyone was obsessed with our parents and the things we did for kids. And that is one thing that we want to copy and paste as well.
I remember like one of the first times coming over to your house, and I knocked on the door and your mom is like, why are you knocking? Just come in. And I was like, wait, seriously? You know, and like she always had cookies out. And so it literally felt like home. And so I was like, wow, this is something else. So it's like, yeah, copy and paste.
Next
That's
level.
What we want.
They were next level.
Yeah. What about for you, Maddie? What's something that you had growing up that you want to implement into your own family?
I had an amazing childhood, and I'm so grateful for it, for like the traumatic event that did happen. Like my dad did an incredible job of like providing us the best that he could. And like my stepmom is amazing. She has 6 kids. So it was like one big happy family, craziness, never a dull moment. There's 3 on my side, me, my little brother, and my little sister. And so they had a lot going on. And like soccer was my outlet, and like just my best friends, like my family on that team too. And one thing that I give credit to my dad too was kind of the same thing, like how he talked to me. Like, yes, it was performance of like, hey, you know, you need to score more goals if you want to get to this level. But also he did credit like my work ethic. So it wasn't always just performance, but it was like, yeah, you worked really hard. Like I loved your effort today. That stuff too, because that always is pretty validating.
Right.
So
I love that.
Thanks again to Mitch and Maddie Matthews for coming on the show with me. Carter Bond and Tori Kimball helped produce this episode with senior producer Terry South. You can join Royal Legacy wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or on BYUradio.org. Royal Legacy is a production of BYU Broadcasting.